Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Aaron Rupar joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Aaron, I hope that you had an awesome holiday weekend with the family.
Hey, Henry. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was kind of busy because Trump had his big event on the 4th for the bill that he signed. And then, you know, the day before, of course, Congress was approving it, which was an all-day situation. So it didn't feel like much of a break, but we got the kids out to the local fair here, and the parade was a big hit. They love gathering up all the candy and all that good stuff. So we had some fun.
That's awesome, man. Well, let's start there since you brought it up. I definitely wanted to get to the quote, the big, beautiful bill from Donald Trump. But give me a few things that are in the big, beautiful bill, as he likes to call it, that maybe the average or most Americans aren't aware of.
Yeah, well, this is actually a really timely topic because the topic of my newsletter tomorrow is on what the big, beautiful bill, so to speak, does to climate policy in the U.S. And, you know, basically a lot of the subsidies for renewable energy that were in the Inflation Reduction Act, which Biden signed in 2022, are defunded as part of this legislation. There are actually some incentives for coal and fossil fuel energy. You know, not only did they kind of, you know, desubsidize renewables, but they're actually kind of funding, you know, fossil fuel energy, which kind of puts us out of step with most of the world. You know, Trump had this riff actually during his July 4th event where he talked about how he's never seen a wind farm in China, which is totally false. China produces more wind energy than any other country in the world. And so I think that's kind of flying below the radar that, you know, Republicans have kind of pivoted from ignoring climate change to actively making it worse in this bill. So I think that's kind of a notable shift that is kind of, you know, below the radar because obviously people are rightly fixated on the Medicaid cuts, on the food stamp cuts. But one thing kind of on that topic that people might not appreciate is that a lot of the Medicaid cuts go into effect after the midterms in 2027. So there is potential, you know, if Dems can retake the House, you know, the Senate's going to be kind of an uphill battle. But there might be an opportunity to kind of defang some of the worst of this bill before it really hits people. And, of course, you know, the fact that the Medicaid cuts are kind of staggered and don't go into effect for a couple years was strategic by Republicans so they don't have to run in the midterms while people are losing their health care. But, you know, that's coming shortly after that. So, you know, we'll see the next election cycle could have big implications for people's health care.
So Republicans are basically banking on Americans being dumb enough to think that because it's not happening right here and now, that those cuts aren't coming. That's what they're banking on, right? Those that think that they're going to go ahead and get reelected, that they're not going to have any issues that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely helps them for the midterm cycle next year because this isn't going to be, you're not going to have like the necessarily kind of the heart-wrenching ads of people who are losing their, you know, their cancer treatments midway through sort of thing. However, I mean, you probably saw last week, there are already headlines. There was a rural hospital in Nebraska that announced that it's closing in anticipation of the Medicaid cuts. So even though some of the worst in terms of how this will impact individual Americans won't come for a couple years, you know, we probably are going to see, you know, rural hospitals closing as they lose funding. That could be more of a short-term impact. And, you know, that's really going to look, you know, bad for Republicans. A lot of their constituents are in these areas. I mean, Nebraska is a very red state, and they're already losing, you know, a rural hospital. And that can really be problematic for people over, you know, living in a huge swath of the country. So, I think you're right that there's a little bit of a political calculation going on there. But I still think we're going to see negative impacts, and we already are.
Aaron, you're spot on, and this is the other thing. I'm going to play something for you. Hopefully you can hear it clearly. We're going to play it here. But this is something that I saw from a gentleman by the name of Sam Jeffrey Phillips from Owsley, Kentucky, about things going on in that rural town. And essentially a town that is predominantly, you know, white, predominantly poor. They need benefits, but went ahead and voted against their best interest. Take a listen to this real quick.
This is Owsley, Kentucky. It's 99% white, 95% Republican, and 96% of them use food stamps. This is what voting against your own best interest looks like. I feel sorry for these people. They would rather hate somebody than vote for a Democrat that may try and help them get out of poverty. It's a shame.
All right, so my question is this. Could you hear all of that clearly?
No, I couldn't. I could just hear the very beginning of it. So, I wasn't able to hear that.
Oh, okay. So he's talking about how, you know, 96% white, 95% Republican, and like 94% of them are on, you know, they need food stamps and SNAP benefits and stuff like that, whatever. And now they basically have voted against their, you know, their best interest. My question is this. Do you ever see a time and a day where we will get out of this warped mindset of looking at the ills of society, the things that we struggle with, and put that on the poorest of people versus looking at the issue of the wealth gap and the wealthy people just not really caring? Because I feel like we're stuck in a place in America where we're never going to get out of that mode or that frame of mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right to point that out. And, you know, I would point out that this has been kind of core to the Trump playbook, you know, if not even the Republican playbook going back further than that, which is, you know, kind of using cultural issues, whether it be kind of moral panics about trans people, immigration, you know, fear mongering about migrants, the whole migrant crime thing that Trump did last year. They're eating the pets, you know, about the Haitian immigrants in Ohio, to kind of use those social and cultural issues as wedges to get people essentially to vote against their own class interests. Because you're right to point out, you know, I couldn't hear that clip, but I mean, you're right that a lot of white people in rural communities are going to be hardest hit if they're low income, if they're on SNAP, if they're on Medicaid. You know, those are the exact people that are going to be hurt by this legislation. I think Republicans just kind of bank that when push comes to shove, you know, they'll be able to find some other kind of moral panic or culture war issue, you know, to kind of pull the same trick that they've pulled for a number of election cycles now, which is, you know, to get poor people essentially to vote against their class interests, to take away their own benefits. And, you know, by the time that happens a couple years down the line, you know, maybe they can distract them by, you know, shifting the blame to somebody else or, you know, ginning up something else for them to fixate on and to make voting decisions on.
Yeah, I never understand it. We're talking to Aaron Ruparf in Public Notice Newsletter. He's joining us here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right. We know about the devastation in Texas, the horrific flooding. My heart is just broken for all the people that have lost everything, the people that have lost their lives, they've lost family members. I even saw some information earlier today. You know, I spent 5.5 years in Kansas City, the Hunt family. They had a young niece, or not a niece, I think a cousin, that was one of the young girls that was tragically that perished in the flooding at Camp Mystic. My question is this, because I'm not wanting to do the whole blame game thing and just put it all on the Trump administration and this, that, the other, whatever, because you don't know whose lives could have been saved. We don't know what could have been done. We don't know. It's way too early for all of that. But should Trump's cuts with the Weather Service, the National Weather Service, at least be scrutinized?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I'm with you, Henry, in that, you know, this was kind of the subject, actually, of my newsletter today, which is that, you know, there is some evidence kind of trickling out that, you know, perhaps the cuts didn't play a huge role here because, you know, I saw a union of the meteorologists basically saying that, you know, they had adequate staffing. But, you know, it reminded me a lot of the, you know, like the COVID pandemic during the first Trump administration where, you know, if you think back to that, remember Trump cut the pandemic preparedness team that was a part of the White House just months before COVID hit.
Yep.
And then, you know, of course, the talking point once COVID did hit was, oh, no one could have seen this coming. This is a, you know, once in a century type pandemic. But you kind of lose the plausible deniability when you make things worse, you know, and there has been reporting that despite the fact that there may have been adequate coverage in terms of meteorologists in Texas over the weekend, that there are a number of positions both in San Antonio and then in a couple of the other National Weather Service offices in Texas that are understaffed, where, you know, due to some of the DOGE cuts, they've lost staff and not been able to replace them. And that stuff does have impacts. And this is one of the impacts. You know, clearly the alerts didn't go out soon enough in this case. And of course, you know, weather is unpredictable. You can't have 100% accuracy. You know, you couldn't have known 12 hours before that the flooding was going to be this bad. But, you know, they sent out the alerts just hours before the worst of the flooding, when a lot of people were sleeping and didn't have an opportunity to even be looped in about what was going on. So, you know, to me, it's like, you know, who could have foreseen that cutting preparedness for disasters is a bad idea? Well, we should have been able to see this because we already lived through it once with Trump as president. And it just goes, you know, it's such a small line item on the budget where, you know, if the idea is that we need to really tighten our belts and lay off meteorologists to get our budget in order, you know, it's such a small line item. It's a drop in the bucket in the context of having, you know, trillions of dollars of deficit at this point. And these are positions that actually can, you know, help people stay alive in situations like this. So, you know, it's a conversation probably to be had another day, like you said. But I think, you know, you would hope that Trump would have learned lessons from COVID, and we're seeing that he really didn't.
Yeah, he didn't. Aaron, well, we keep kicking the can down the road with these tariffs. Like, it's new deadline after new deadline, and now, you know, he's saying he's going to, you know, hike up and threaten some more numbers in terms of percentages to specific countries. What is the deal here? Like, are countries around the world kind of looking at Trump and they're like, okay, we're not blinking yet? Like, why we keep pushing things out?
Yeah, the tariffs thing got even more comical today. Actually, just before I hopped on this call with you, Trump was doing a little press conference with Netanyahu, who's visiting him at the White House, and a reporter asked him if August 1st is the firm deadline for the reimposition of the reciprocal tariffs, which were those hugely punitive tariffs that he tried to put into place on April 2nd and then quickly walked them back, you know, after the market tanked. And he said, no, you know, like they could be pushed back even further, which is, you know, of course, the whole origin of the taco meme that Trump always chickens out on tariffs, you know, because this is something that's happened again and again. It keeps moving the goalposts. So, yeah, I mean, it's you know, really kind of a bluster. It's a threat that he wants to use against these countries to extract concessions from them. But at this point, you know, he loses leverage every time he does this because it becomes more and more clear that he's bluffing. And if he really did follow through, even with these tariffs today, that he's sending all these letters to various countries imposing, you know, between 20 and 40% tariffs, and that's supposed to happen on August 1st. Well, if that happens on August 1st, it's going to tank the markets again. And we see that when that happens, you know, he's very responsive to that. And so, yeah, I just view this as kind of like bluster at this point. But I think, you know, anybody who's paying attention, at a certain point, you have to understand that Trump is bluffing and kind of,
yep,
you know, budget in your response accordingly and not kind of fly off the handle worrying that he's going to wreck your economy, because he never actually imposes these things.
At this specific point, Aaron, I'm at the place with Trump in the tariffs. I think it's just a bunch of bull, and I think it's camouflage. I think it is just it's a distraction from all of the other things that are getting accomplished that maybe people aren't paying attention to.
Yeah, there might be something to that. I mean, you know, it's also very self-destructive because, you know, of course, after the April 2nd Liberation Day, so to speak, tariffs, you know, that sent the market into a tailspin, we've just come out of that, you know, where now the Dow is at an all-time high. And, of course, the big tax cut bill last week, despite all the other bad things in there that we talked about earlier, I mean, that sent the market even higher. So you can kind of just think, if Trump, you know, just let the tariffs thing go, he'd probably be working with a pretty strong economy. And that'd be, you know, really kind of a, you know, a good talking point for him that he's really thriving on economic issues. But instead, you know, it's this uncertainty every day where he's talking about new tariffs and, you know, kind of randomly bringing them up. And, you know, the market doesn't like that. But, you know, again, I think it's part of a broader project where he wants to turn the global economy into basically a protection racket, where these countries have to grovel to him, you know, have to basically beg to get the tariffs, you know, reduced. And that just, it's kind of part of how he operates politically, both with, you know, members of Congress. But now we're seeing that he's trying to apply kind of that mobster logic to other countries as well.
Yeah. All right. Final thing for you, Aaron. You know, And it's what everybody was talking about yesterday. Department of Justice, FBI, they conclude that Jeffrey Epstein had no client lists, that he did, in fact, commit suicide. I'm sorry, no one's buying it unless you are just so down in the MAGA world that you just believe that Trump does no wrong and that none of these people are lying. Like, this does not pass the smell test at all. Bondi, everybody's lying. I think that we are looking right now at a full-blown cover-up. And I'm not sitting here saying just on the Republican side. Do I think there are probably some Democrats caught up in this too? Absolutely. But this, to me, in my opinion, is about Donald Trump having his fingerprints and name all over being involved on the Epstein list. And they're like, we're not going there.
Yeah, you know, I've been pretty skeptical of the cover-up stuff just because I think at some point something would have leaked. You know, there would have been some indication, you know, on the prison side, someone would have leaked, or, you know, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence to that end. But then I don't know if you saw today when, you know, Carolyn Leavitt, the press secretary, was asked about Pam Bondi, specifically saying a few months ago that she had the client list and that they were going to be releasing it.
Yep.
And now saying there was no client list. And her answer was very unsatisfactory. It was basically like, oh, she was talking about kind of other documents.
The documents. Yes, I saw that.
Right. You know, which was such a dodge. And so that was really one of the first times where I kind of perked up. Now, I've been mainly consuming this story from the standpoint of the far right people really turning on Pam Bondi and Cash Patel, with the idea being that they are involved in some sort of cover up. But it's still bizarre to me to watch, you know, like Will Cain on Fox News today, where he's kind of alluding to this cover up of the Epstein stuff, but, you know, it's like he won't do that next mental step of like, why are they covering this up? If they are covering anything up, it's obviously to protect Donald Trump, who, you know, I think at one point described Epstein as his best friend, you know, was filmed partying with him on numerous occasions. They clearly had a close relationship, you know, back 20, 25 years ago. So, you know, nothing would shock me with Trump. I'm still a little bit skeptical, but, you know, I will say that when Carolyn Leavitt gets in front of the microphones and says things like she said today, where they can't explain, you know, some of these claims from a few months ago where it seemed like there was a lot more evidence, you know, it does kind of raise the question of, like, did some of this evidence incriminate Trump? And is that really what they're covering up here? You know, I will say at least I am heartened that the hardcore Trumpers seem to be more invested in this story than most. You know, than pretty much any other scandal involving Trump. And so there, you know, there does seem to be some heat here from the right wing on Pam Bondi to come clean.
Well, the bottom line is 3 weeks ago, I think Elon Musk said that Trump was on the Epstein list. And funny, last night, it's like there is no list. And then now there's some breaking news from the Associated Press. Says President Trump says the U.S. must send more weapons to Ukraine just days after ordering a pause in critical weapons deliveries to Kiev. Interesting. That is interesting. Hey, Aaron, always a pleasure, man, to have you on the show. We will chat in the next couple of weeks when I come back with a massive tan from NBA Summer League and watching Cooper Flagg.
Hey, I'm jealous. Enjoy. I'll be watching to see how Rob Dillingham's playing. But I'm definitely going to have FOMO. One of these years I'll be out there. But have a blast, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
All right, I appreciate it. That's Aaron Rupar. Yep. Check out his phenomenal newsletter. The newsletter is Public Notice Newsletter. Phenomenal job. He joins us. We try to do weekly. Sometimes we get super busy, and sometimes the Twins just kick us to the curb. But Aaron Rupar joining us here on The Lake Show. We'll take a break, come back, Bite of the Night. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, real quickly before we get into the bite of the night, we got to give a shout out to Jam and Jeff. I mean, from Cullen's Ice Cream, hooking brothers up with popcorn. Jeff, what up, man? You the man. Matter of fact, one of these need to go and hang out with me on the Vegas Strip. When I'm near later this week, when I'm watching Cooper Flag, I just have some popcorn as I'm watching Cooper Flag courtside.
Isn't that get your popcorn ready? You got your popcorn. Jam and Jeff already hooked you up.
He hooked us up, man. He hooked us up. So we appreciate you, Jeff.
I had to go down there and get it, man.
I still haven't met Jeff yet. I mean, I can never.
Oh, he's cool, dude. Well, he's cool.
Well, at some point, yeah. And he can text into the show. Jeff, text into the show. Got to come out to the Champlain Park location to meet you. I'm dead serious. Right? Because I keep hearing about the ice cream. We sampled ice cream. Yep.
Well, they've got a new location in New Hope that just opened.
Oh, really?
On 42nd and Quebec.
Look at you, man.
They're four-star.
Let's do it.
All right, I'm down.
All right, bite of the night comes from Randy Kay from CNN. She was on a cart, and she was riding around, and she was talking to a Republican voter by the name of Jim, who's really feeling the effect of voting for Donald Trump.
Republican who voted for Donald Trump 3 times.
How do you feel about your vote for Donald Trump now?
Well, I feel like perhaps I should have considered some other options.
The past 2 years, Jim has been selling honey to the federal government, which then provides it to schools and food banks. But after Donald Trump took office, the USDA cut those programs suddenly as part of the federal government's effort to streamline spending.
For a lot of other local farmers around here, it was a major source of reliable revenue. For me, you know, it's going to cost me around $150,000 a year.
$150,000?
Yeah, roughly 50% of my revenue.
That's a huge hit.
That's a massive hit. I never thought I was going to lose this much money fast.
That's so unfortunate. Look, do I feel for Jim? Yes, I do. But you were told what was happening. You were told what was coming. So, there are a lot of people I look at and you feel for them because they're fellow Americans, but a lot of people that feel like they were duped. No, you were told what was happening. Like Joe Rogan on his podcast has been very critical here the last couple of weeks. He's like, no, Joe, don't act surprised now. You saw this coming.
It really is unfortunate that some people are going to lose a significant amount of their livelihood because of maybe not understanding everything that was going to go into these decisions. And I mean, it sucks. It really, really sucks.
It does.
But this was told ahead of time, like there were warnings, and you're like, well, no, that's not real. That's fake news. You're lying to me. And it's like, at what point you put it this up and it's like, I can't believe you have to go through this to find out this is really happening. Yeah. We shouldn't have even gotten to this point.
It's crazy. All right. Coming up next, we got Stephen Silton. He joins us in studio. Stephen Silton from Coles and O'Connor. He joins us next year on The Late Show. He joins us in studio. He is a world traveler, jet setter. Where were you last week?
New York and Philadelphia.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Now, you weren't in Philadelphia trying to negotiate the whole, you know, they got like a strike going on.
Do they?
Yeah, it's between the, the workers that do like the trash and stuff, whatever.
That's definitely happened in New York as well, by the way.
Oh, man. I'm dead. It got to a point where LL Cool J last Friday posted and publicly says, I'm not performing at this concert tomorrow for this WAWA or whatever, whatever organization. And he says, I'm not going to be involved in crossing a picket line. It's not my thing. I want people to have good wages. I want people to be able to live. He was like, I just can't do it. My conscience would be. So he said he wasn't going to do it. And it was the day before the 4th. And then Jasmine Sullivan, the singer, she came out the very next day and says, I think she kind of felt the pressure like, LL's not going to do it. He's the headliner. I'm not going to do it either.
Yeah, good for both of them.
Yes. Ride with the people, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Ride with the people, man.
People doing those services, like, they deserve our respect and support, and they deserve a living wage. Very rarely do they get it.
All right, let me throw this at you, okay? Because I really find this interesting. So before I get to the specific story, as an example, in Major League Baseball, are you a fan of the robot umps?
I am a fan of quicker games. Let's just say that. And I do think that robot umps will, at least when it comes to the strike zone, right, make it quicker, right? Like, I was actually just at a game yesterday, and it's such an enjoyable sporting event when you know it's not going to last 4 hours, right? It's 2 hours and 45 minutes. You get there, you're sitting outside, you have a hot dog. You know it's going to be over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're nostalgia because we remember all these great, you know, battles over missed calls and all this, you know, all this. But, you know, the reality is the game is changing, right? And with video replay, I don't know why it takes so long for them to get these plays right when they have to review them.
Right? All right, so this is the reason why I bring this up. Okay, and you're a sports guy. You're a sports fan. You deal with, you know, professional athletes. Do I want the calls right? Yes. But do I believe in human error? Yes. And I think that it still makes for storytelling. It still makes for great storylines. It's a part of life. We're trying to find perfection. Perfection's not possible. I bring it up because Wimbledon, which is taking place right now.
Yes.
Love Wimbledon. I've never been.
Me neither. Would love to go.
I would love to go. They have, like the line judge, they're not making calls.
Yep.
It's technology, right?
Yep.
There was a, did you see the point?
No.
So there was a point yesterday in the, they were 4-4 tied in the set. I can't remember the woman's name, and her name is real unique. She's from another country.
It must be Eastern European. There's a lot of Eastern European, particularly the women. Eastern European women dominate.
Well, I don't have the story up specifically, but her name is really hard to pronounce. But my point is this. The ball is coming back her way to return. They called it in. It was clearly out. And they don't go to the judge because the judges aren't involved in
right,
this.
There are no judges.
If I showed you the replay, you'd be like, what the? And I'm sorry. I can't go to the technology card without having people, human beings involved in it. Because when I see something like that, that's that egregious, it's upsetting. It is upsetting. And even other people in the tournament here have said, Jake Draper, the British number one.
Yep.
He said he felt some line calls are wrong, saying he did not think the AI technology was, quote, 100% accurate. What are we doing? Like, I don't think that we should. I think that this is how it should go. It should go human, and then to back up the human, it should be the technology. It shouldn't be technology, no human involvement at all. I don't believe that.
God, this is like a big topic. I didn't know what we were talking about today. Now we're opening up the whole foibles of AI, right? I actually think it should be the other way. I think it should be technology with humans supervising it, right? But I have actually talked to people who've worked in the AI space, and they've done studies, right? One big study was in the medical field where they had AI only, doctors only, and AI and doctors.
Okay.
And they thought initially that the AI and doctors would be the most accurate of the diagnosis. It wasn't. It was the least accurate. The most accurate was the AI. Second was doctors, just human doctors. And the third was actually both of them together. I mean, as we've learned, anyone who's used ChatGPT for anything substantive, AI lies. Like, literally lies. They call it delusions. But lawyers have actually gotten into big trouble, right? I mean, you can Google lawyers who have used AI to draft briefs, and it will make up quotes that don't exist in cases.
Yep.
And that's when they check them, these lawyers get into the huge trouble. So I don't know where all this is going. I do know those optical sensors are really, really, really good. And if you have one referee reviewing it, you know, maybe you review one or two calls an entire match, and it goes quickly. And listen, there's human foibles in the play, right? You see great players who play not so well. You see good players kind of rise to the occasion. I mean, that's what really what should be focused on. You very rarely should be focused on the umpires or the refs.
All right, so I see you posted the name on there. Do you know how to pronounce that? I know the first part's Anastasia.
That's the part I was going to take.
Yeah. Pavlochnikova? It looks like that, but yeah. It sparked debate about the reliability of the technology of AI. I'm telling you this: when you see the actual video, you'd be like, "How in the heck did AI get that wrong?" Like, it's clearly out,
without a doubt. But how does AI? Nobody knows. That's truly what's scary. Like, that's the Skynet dystopic end of the world thing that scares people. Is the programmers of AI don't know why their programs will lie to humans, right? That it could be getting it wrong on purpose, literally, right? Because it's the whole concept of artificial intelligence is its intelligence, which by its nature is flawed.
And in that specific part, with them being at 4-4, it was advantage her. That being out, she wins that game.
And really?
And
she had nobody to kind
there's
of
no
appeal
recourse.
It to. There's no one to appeal it to.
I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's
that's not good. That's not good for the game. It's Wimbledon. I don't know how you feel about tennis, because I grew up loving watching tennis, right? John McEnroe, John Bourne, Arthur Ashe.
Vitas Gerulaitis, right?
Yeah. Pete Sampras.
I mean, great player.
There's so many.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Of all of the tournaments, I don't know how you rank them, but I look at Wimbledon as the masters of all of them. Like, when you look at the at golf, it's like the Masters in there.
Yep, 100%.
The other, I look at Wimbledon as the big dog. Yeah, U.S. Open's not on the level. I mean, they're all majors, but that's the best of all of them is Wimbledon.
Listen, I go to the U.S. Open every year. And
I love the U.S. I've been.
Yeah, and the U.S. Open is one, in my opinion, the big three sporting events that I go to, this, you know, that I've gone to, Super Bowl, the Masters, and the U.S. Open. I think Flushing Meadows is unique. I've never been to Wimbledon, right? You know, obviously, I've never even played on grass, and I played a lot of tennis. But it looks amazing. I know people have gone. It's a very, very tough ticket. It's not like the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open is very democratic. Anyone out there who thinks the U.S. Open is too expensive to go to, it's not.
Oh, no, you can scalp a ticket.
Yeah, for $75, $100, you can get into the grounds. You're not going to get third row seats at Ash, but you're going to get 10 to 12 hours of the best tennis you will ever see and one of the greatest day-long experiences in sports.
And you can see the up-and-comers on some of the smaller courts and all this. It's a great experience.
It's a great experience. Both of us are – that's our advice. I do know people who've gone to Wimbledon and tried and think they can do the same thing. It's a really, really hard in. It's an expensive in. But I'd like to go. I think, you know, what you could say the same thing about human error, though. I mean, when they're calling lines on a game basis, it's amazing how accurate they are, right? And if you don't have technology backing that up, I think you're making a mistake. I mean, and you know, those line calls should be easy, right? It's a yellow ball on a white line. You know, it shouldn't be that hard for the optics to figure out. I've worked in the optical sensor business. I've had clients in, you know, Sick Inc's a kind of a big local company. They work in the optical sensor business. It wouldn't surprise me if their sensors are in that. I mean, these sensors are so incredible. They can review thousands upon thousands a second of things like that, you know, with these huge assembly lines and everything going down. It shouldn't be that hard on this.
All right, Stephen Stilton from Coles and O'Connor joining us here in studio, as he likes to do. Another segment with him. And by the way, can I ask you a non-sports related question?
You can ask me any question you want.
We'll do that next year on The Lake Show. All right, I got all kinds of sports topics in the 8 o'clock hour, but I want to ask Stephen Stilton a non-sports question. Stephen Stilton, Coles and O'Connor.
Bring it on.
Do you think that we will ever, in our lifetime, see the Epstein list?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, now, of course, there's no list, right? Like, yes, I think we're going to see more information with regard to, you know, who was on his island, right? We already have the plane manifest, which don't say anything because he did charitable work that was actually legitimate. So some people on his plane manifest.
There are people that have already said that they went to his island before.
Right.
They've already said that.
Right. So, he is a fascinating figure, right? And, you know, I was actually looking, I clicked on it, some clickbait before I came here, just wondering if this was going to come up, where they said they released a video of him in the, you know, in the minutes before he hung himself, right? Which, of course, would deflate the
allegedly
big...
there's like 10 hours of surveillance of him that was released. I haven't seen 10 hours. I haven't seen 10 minutes of it. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, that is a story that has not been told. The fact that, you know, no one's really been explained how this individual who started his career, never graduated from college, right? Started his career as a private school teacher because he couldn't get a job in public school because he can't without a degree, essentially rose to have access to the funds that he was able to have access to. I mean,
well, it's because of the guy that. Yeah. What's his name? I researched. I saw this.
Yeah.
There was a guy that he latched on to that was extremely.
Was it the Victoria's Secret guy or the he was in clothing? He was in clothing.
No, this guy ended up writing a book and he spawned all these different. I can't remember the guy's name. I was literally looking at this weekend, specifically yesterday when all this news started coming out, and this guy actually has a connection to Bill Barr as well. Yeah, it's
congressman Bill Barr. The
no, who was the attorney general?
Oh yeah, William Barr.
Yeah,
yes.
William Barr.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting. I mean, you know, he's a fascinating guy, right? He, you know, had all this money, had all this power. Was, you know, was Ghislaine Maxwell? Obviously, you know, her father died in these incredibly suspicious circumstances, drowned off his big yacht, right? Which, you know, had tons of people around him, and yet somehow drowned off his boat. I mean, there's going to be conspiracy theories swirling around him for decades. I mean, more and more information is going to come out, right? I mean, particularly since, you know, here's the sad thing, is that most, you know, he was continued to be able to offend well after people knew what he was doing. So his worst conduct was 25, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the people who are going to be, you know, the powerful people on his list are elderly and dying as we speak. So, you know, I think in our lifetime for sure, you know, it's of course like anything, it's gonna make the story much less interesting. It's much more fun to speculate as to who could be on that list and all the other things that he was involved in. Right? Was he a Mossad agent? Is he still, you know, asserting influence following his death? A lot of those, you know, those are all pure speculation. I don't see a lot of truth in it.
This is not, I don't have the answer to this, and I'm not expecting you to either. But the woman that's locked up, Maxwell.
Yeah, Ghislaine Maxwell, yeah. Robert Maxwell's daughter.
Do you think that, I mean, if there's no client, like, is there any chance that she ends up getting out?
Yeah.
Did she get pardoned?
I mean, I don't know if she's going to, I don't know, I mean, would Trump pardon her? I mean, that's.
Oh, he's pardoning a lot of other people.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's a, you know, it's fascinating to me that she's still behind bars, right? This is a woman with, you know, with her own power base. Again, her father.
Is she wealthy? Is she independently wealthy?
Oh, my
wealthy?
God. Robert Maxwell at the time was one of the wealthiest media owners in the world, right? An Australian kind of magnate, right? He was kind of the Robert Maxwell in many respects was the, like, the Murdochs would look at Robert Maxwell and say, one day I get to be Robert Maxwell, right? And the Murdochs obviously went on to their own power. So yeah, I mean, she's a hundred millionaire in her own right with a lot of international power. I mean, he used her for legitimacy. And his relationship with her was, you know, it turned him into this kind of marginal finance kind of figure into this, you know, frankly, you know, this kind of international kind of icon in a way. I mean, before, of course, some of the worst parts of his conduct came out. So, I mean, it's the fact that there haven't been miniseries upon miniseries out on them is, you know, is amazing. It's almost too, you know, truth is such stranger than fiction. You could crack into any part of this story and tell a lot. But what do you think? Do you think we're going to find out who's on that list?
I think that in our lifetime we will. I think there's a lot of things that we will find out about this country when Donald Trump is no longer with us. I think that's a big part of this. And I think that there are people that are willing to protect the presidency right now that will not protect it in the same way once he's no longer with us. And I'm not wishing him to be dead or nothing like that. All I'm saying is that I think there are people that will just let it all hang out a little bit years from now.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I think that, you know, you look at someone who came from the outside like a Barack Obama, right? Who didn't declassify the Kennedy tapes, right? I mean, say all you want about Trump, but Trump is a true disruptor, right? And he's also so erratic that he could wake up tomorrow and say, forget it. Fine. I might be on that list, but I want everyone else to be known.
You're not getting what I'm saying.
Oh,
I'm not talking about specifically native to our country. I'm talking about power players around the world. There's too many connections, whether it's Saudi Arabia, whether it's do we think that this stuff is all the stuff and why Putin's got control over him and all that's never coming to light? Oh, of course it's coming to light.
Well, when it comes to Trump, right? Yeah,
yes.
His connections with Russia are right. Like that's why he got so offended with the Steele dossier because there's
truth in
there. And
why Kushner got all the money?
Yes,
going out. I mean,
yes.
I think that stuff is eventually going to come out.
Yes. Wow, this is an interesting. You know, we should have Jeff Hayden and do not hard politics, but just political conspiracy theories. Political conspiracy theories. How about that?
We'll do it with Jeff next. Appreciate it, my man.
Hey, always great to be here.
All right, that's Stephen Silton. Final hour of The Late Show coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.